Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, about 3 or 4 years ago, we did an interview with one of the producers of Spy in the Wild. It was a series where the program makers made up these fake animals and put them in nests and hides and other remote places to try and get really high quality, intimate pictures of very human shy animals. And one of the things that really stuck with me of that interview was that they didn't have to recreate a dummy animal to get the bird or the gorilla to accept this foreign object into their home. In fact, all they needed sometimes was just a little sign, a little cue, like, for example, painting the camera the right color of red to match the plumage of a particular bird. And the bird would forget about the fact that it didn't look anything like a bird. It would just run off the color and accept this camera into its nest. This is sort of what got me really excited about this next really quirky piece on Future Proof. We're speaking to Dr. Mark Hauber. He's a professor of host-parasite interactions at the University of Illinois, and he's been looking at the robin. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your study has to do with robins. Can you tell me what you've been doing and why you're so interested in robins and how they perceive things that are safe and things that are foreign?
So first of all, these are American robins, which are more closely related to your European blackbirds and song thrush than the European robins. And second, these birds in North America are affected by the brown-headed cowbird, which is a brood parasite. And it's very similar to the habits of the common cuckoo in Europe, which lays its eggs in other bird species' nests. And so what the robins are excited for scientists, that is, when they get a cowbird egg in the nest, they typically reject it. And so we are using this natural behavior, this naturally evolved adaptation to understand how their mind works, how their eyes work, how their beaks work. And we use 3D printed eggs to put into the nests of these robins to vary the cues and the stimuli that they are responding to.
So these American robins often have their own eggs replaced or added to by cowbirds who want the robins to mother and hatch the eggs and feed the young and not have to do it themselves, much like, as you say, the cuckoo here. How often does that happen?
Well, it's a good question because robins are really good at rejecting the cowbird eggs. So we monitor, 200-300 nests a summer at our tree farms near the university, and we only find, 1 to 3 nests a year that actually have the cowbird eggs remaining in them. But it could be up to 10-20% of the nests that are affected by the cowbirds, just that the robins are so good at rejecting the cowbird eggs that by the time you get to the nest, those eggs are gone.
It doesn't sound like a great return for the cowbird.
No, it turns out that cowbirds are sort of desperate for all kinds of host nests. Because of deforestation in the Midwestern United States, their numbers are vast. And so instead of being selective, parasitizing maybe sparrows or warblers that don't reject their eggs so often, they are desperate to lay their eggs into any nest that's available. The reason we don't study sparrows or some types of warblers for our study is because they don't reject the cowbird eggs. So there's nothing to do, for us to ask, why don't you reject these eggs? Because that's not happening. The robins are one of the few species of North American birds that do reject the cowbird egg, and so we're using them as sort of a field laboratory white mouse,
which is great. So you can look at these robins and you can see the differences between the eggs, or experiment with what the robin will throw out and won't throw out, and that's sort of the basis of your research. It gives you an idea of how these animals see and think and behave when it comes to differentiating similar and different objects. So what have you put in robins' nests so far to explore this thing?
That's a great question. And the better question is, what have we not put into the robins' nest? We've put twigs, we've put eggs, we've put cubes. Other people have put, painted pennies. What we are doing is 3D printed eggs that are shaped initially as the size of the cowbird, but we change the colors, for instance. So we've given them a series of different colors, from browns to beiges to blues, to see what colors they reject. We've given them a series of patterns, spotting patterns. We've printed differently pixelated eggs to see how good their accuracy is, visual accuracy.
Do you mean that you painted the eggs sort of a camouflage color, or what were you doing there, and what was the point of that?
We were looking at visual accuracy, and so what we did was we pixelated yellow colors and blue colors, which, if they are small enough pixels, you know, blend into a green color in our eyes, and we know that greenish eggs are accepted by the robins. But spotted eggs are not accepted by the robins. And so in an inkjet printer, we printed out colors that were differently pixelated. And it turns out that eggs that looked really obviously pixelated to us were still accepted by the robins, you know, when they were looking at this egg about 8 centimeters from the rim of the nest.
Right. So when they see 2 pixels, that to us is very clearly 2 separate colors, in their eyesight is so poor that it blends those colors together to give an accepted color range.
But remember, a robin, you know, walks on the ground and listens to worms, right? And so, you know, an eyesight, you know, to look at, you know, such fine scale differences may not be, you know, in their books.
It's evolved to not need to be able to discriminate colors particularly well, because it uses other cues, and that's another rule of thumb, I suppose.
Absolutely. And also the robins also don't have a cuckoo that lays a very similar egg color to its own egg. Therefore, they didn't have to evolve a very fine scale discrimination in color.
Right. Yeah. Because the cuckoo's egg is so different, they don't need that nuance of color at all. All right. So let's go through it one by one then. Twigs and sort of non-egg looking shapes. Are they always rejected? Does it depend on the color? Or does the robin say, I didn't put that there, out you go?
All rejected. They don't care what the color is. Even if it's a twig that's painted the color of the robin's egg, then they are rejected. So as long as they don't look like eggs, they reject those objects.
Okay, so a robin can tell that's the right color, but the wrong shape, and doesn't, I mean, does smell come into it?
I've done the smell experiment last year during COVID, and it didn't work. So they accept anything that smells even like orange, or the butt of a cowbird, for that matter. we did some cloacal lavage here, and that didn't change their rejection patterns.
Okay, so they don't smell. They use visual cues only, it seems. And in these visual cues, it's not just color. And so you said, okay, it's shape. Take me through the various shapes. So you started off with eggs of different colors. Did any of the eggs get kept if they were the right color and the right shape, the ones you manufactured?
Absolutely. So robins like blue eggs, you know, makes sense. Their eggs are blue. And in fact, if the egg is too blue, so perceivably differently blue than the robin's own eggs, they still accept them. But the moment you start going towards the brownish hues, they start rejecting them. So it seems that you know, if there was a cowbird that laid a super blue egg, that cowbird would actually be a winner. And we've done an experiment where European and Eurasian cuckoos are actually invading Alaska. And some of them lay blue eggs to parasitize birds like the common redstart in Europe. And so if the common redstart parasitizing cuckoo moved to North America, the robins would actually be fooled and accept their eggs.
Right. Okay. So it's not color alone. It's not shape alone. You need to have the right shape and the right color. And then it seems the robin can be fooled. You started then experimenting beyond the egg shape. And this is what I'm really interested in. You started using different type of 3D shapes. Why were you interested in that?
Well, we know that both the cowbird eggs and the robin's eggs are very variable. So they are highly variable between the different nests and between the different females. And so we wanted to know whether slight differences in the shape, need to be matched by the cowbird's own eggs In addition to the color, eventually, you know, during coevolution adaptations, to be able to be accepted by the robins. And it seems that the robins are quite sensitive to shape. So the egg, if the egg becomes narrower than a natural cowbird or robin egg, they start rejecting it quite soon. What was surprising is that we did another experiment about angularity, whereby we made the eggs more and more like a double pyramid. So the edges were straighter rather than curvy linear like the eggs in natural nests. And there the robins had a harder time detecting the foreign eggs in the nest. It seems that they were unable or unwilling to reject eggs that were quite noticeably foreign or angular, and so we thought that this was because they never encountered these eggs. So the robin eyes and their rules of thumb, how they make decisions, are adapted to things that occur in nature, like color and shape along the natural gradients, but not colors and shapes that don't occur in natural eggs.
Okay, but how far can you push that then? If you were to put in a blue dye, for example, a square six-shaped, six-sided object, would it reject that because that isn't found in nature?
Well, it turns out that that we did that. We did an eight-sided dye, and half of them were still accepted. And so only when we got to, sort of this double pyramid type of shape is when the robin really started rejecting things. And even then, some of them were still accepted. In fact, we got some comments that we were cruel to the robins because they might have poked themselves. The objects were so sharp. Which brings me to the other thing. We're talking about vision, but some of these decisions could be made by tactile sensation as well.
Right. Okay. So feeling around the object and seeing if that matches up with whatever it has as an idea of its own egg in its mind. So
exactly.
Going through all these experiments, putting in colored twigs and octahedrons and brown eggs and blue eggs, you've got a good idea of what a robin thinks an egg is. So what does it tell us about how the robin perceives the world, color and shape?
Well, it tells us that it pays attention to things that are naturally variable. So, just like you mentioned before, animals have rules of thumb or shortcuts in making decisions. So do the robins. You know, they don't look at the entirety of the egg or every aspect of its phenotype. They look at, sort of general size. Is it the right length and the right width? And if so, let's accept it. They also pay attention to color, but only colors that occur in natural bird eggs. So we actually did an experiment previously where we painted eggs purple and yellow and colors that don't exist in nature, and the robins couldn't care less. They didn't even pay attention to those color differences. All they cared about is whether an egg was brown or blue or beige, which are, of course, natural egg colors.
When you say it didn't care, do you mean it rejected them or it was fine with them?
It that's a very good question. What they did was they sort of translated that yellow, how much blue and brown is in that yellow, and they rejected it based on that, but they didn't care how further away from the natural colors was that yellow or purple, for instance. So as if they had a filter in their eyes that only looked at brownness and blueness, and then any other colors that we painted, they sort of just projected down to that one axis of variation.
But if you keep doing it in the same forest with the same nests, is there any worry that robins will start to adapt their understanding of what eggs are based on that? Or is this such a hard-coded behavior that it would take many generations of birds to sort of shift their understanding?
Well, they are so good at rejecting the cowbird eggs naturally that I'm not worried about them, accepting any fewer of them. But it's a funny thing you ask. Finally, last year we did the experiment. If you see an egg in the nest and you reject it, will you be more sensitive to the next type of egg that we put into the nest? And sure enough, they are. If you give them a cowbird like beige egg, the second time you give them sort of a deep blue egg, they are more likely to reject that than if you give them a control, a robin-like egg in the first instance.
really interesting field work that you are undertaking. It's brilliant speaking with you. Dr. Mark Hauber from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.